And I appreciate that. So let's take our Bibles, go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll look at a verse here and preach about it for a little bit, and then go home tonight. And so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, we just sang this phrase in the song, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Great verse to have memorized if you don't have this one memorized. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to just tell you something right now. I've been pretty scared about this new Anchor Club program. Just a lot of unknowns about it. Who's going to show up and help? Who's going to show up and be a clubber? Who's going to show up if the pastor quits? I mean, stuff like that. Those kind of things run through my head. I mean, what is going to happen? And so I just am thankful. And my left eye's been twitching for a couple days, and it's still twitching, but it's not twitching as much. But, you know, I get a cold, and I get stressed, and then I start worrying about that. But I can honestly say that I'm more relaxed about this year than I have in past years, and this is a whole new deal. And I knew driving into the school, I mean, what is going to happen? I mean, what, you know, how's this going to, but you know what? They were ready for us. They knew we were coming. I think there's four different churches now picking up kids at the school, and I appreciate their cooperation with that. But I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful for how it worked out, because those are things that I'm concerned about, and just, you know, what ifs and all this that goes on behind the scenes stuff. And so I'm praising the Lord that, and of course, we still have one not, oh, well, here comes Tracy, but I haven't seen the other van yet, so who knows, maybe Caleb has been hijacked or something. But anyhow, I'm praising the Lord for so far so good, and praising the Lord for the help with it as well. But, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's not Him that gives us this spirit of fear. It's from the devil, and He wants us to be afraid and to live in fear, and we ought not. And let me tell you why. You've seen those old stickers. They're not around as much now, but no fear. I'm going to tell you who should have the no fear. It's you and I. Why? Well, with our finger there, before we even flip, let's just go to verse 12. "For which cause also I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." On Sunday nights, I'm talking to the teenagers about salvation, all right, heaven and hell, about being saved and knowing it. I know whom I have believed, okay? This Sunday, the men are going to sing that. I know whom I have believed, all right? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So anything that you've committed to Him, He's able to keep. I've committed my soul to Him, okay? And so I know He's able to keep it, and I can trust Him to keep it, and He will keep it. And so I am thankful, and I am without doubt, I don't fear death, okay? I'm not afraid to die. I heard an advertisement on the radio for a life insurance policy, and you know, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of it. I know it's going to happen sometime. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. You know, if it's going to be real dramatic, or if it's going to be real lame, or what it's going to be like, but I'm going to die. And you know what? You might think, that's terrible. How come you're talking like that? Well, you're going to die too. You know, I don't know when it's going to happen, how long it's going to be. It might be a long time. Might be next week. But you're going to die. But you know what? I'm not afraid to die. I carry an EpiPen most of the time. Don't even have one on me right now. But I normally carry an EpiPen wherever I go. And why? Because I never know when I'm going to get stung. And you know, God is in charge of the bees. I mean, really. And people that want to feed you stuff that you know that they'll kill you. You know, I mean, I'm allergic to certain food. But I just decided that my time will come when it's supposed to come. And I'm not going to fear death, because even if I die, I know who's in charge of that, and I know where I'm going. Okay? So I don't have to be afraid of death. The reason why people are scared to death is because they're not ready for death. That's why they're scared of death. But you don't need to be scared of death when you know that God's in charge and you are saved. But if you're not saved, that's a scary thing. And if you're not saved, I hope you are scared right now, because I hope you get saved, because you realize that's a terrible thing. Let me show you some things about not fearing. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. There's no reason for us to fear. And if you're fearing, what's wrong with you? There's something wrong, because you shouldn't be afraid. There shouldn't be fear. It just shouldn't happen. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, the Holy Spirit has confirmed to me that I am one of his children. That's why I'm not afraid. And it's terrible to be afraid and to live in bondage and to have to, try to work for a God that you're scared of. I'm so thankful I can pray to a God that's my Father. You know, I can talk to him like my Heavenly Father, and I can pray to him that way. I'm not afraid. I have adoption. I have that eternal security from him. I don't have to fear. And because of that, verse 28, all things work together for good. I know it. I don't have to fear that. All things will. It doesn't say all things necessarily are good by themselves, but they all work together for good. Somebody else was here. I forgot. I won't say the name, but there's a girl that came tonight to Anchor Club for the first time in like 3 years. And it's a blessing. It's an answer to prayer. I mean, I was figuring that the parents were never going to let her come again. She came tonight. I'm telling you, there's a lot of neat answers to prayer that just popped in my head just now. Listen, we need to stop being afraid of everything. All right? We're on the winning side. God's in charge. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And it says at the end of the chapter, nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from God. If you're saved, you've got the eternal security that only God can give. And there's no reason to be afraid of whatever. The Bible says in Philippians 1, 27, 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. If you're terrified by your adversaries, that tells them that you're afraid of dying. But to you, of salvation, in other words, you're not afraid of dying. I was telling the kids on Sunday night that someone pulled a gun on John R. Rice one time. I think it was John R. Rice. And they pulled a gun on him and said, I'm going to kill you, Mr. Rice. So mad at him. And he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Go ahead. And that made the guy so mad he couldn't even kill him. And then the guy ended up getting saved, realizing that John R. Rice had something he didn't have. That's how we ought to be, though. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. The only thing that should terrify us is our own sin and our own disobedience. The lost sheep have been found. Good to see them here. We thought maybe you got hijacked. Oh, good. Well, and then also notice John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know why people are drinking? I think this county has a lot of drunks in it. A lot of drinkers in it anyway. You know why people are drinking? Because they're looking for peace. I'm so thankful I'm not wasting my money on beer. I mean, I don't have the money to waste. And I certainly don't have the brain cells to waste. I drove in town and I was driving down a road I don't normally drive. And there's just a great big sign advertising, you know, basically pounding it into your system, just pouring it in. I'm so glad that's not appealing to me. But you know why? Because I have a different peace, not as the world gives. And the same with drugs. It's my understanding that there is a major drug problem in Custer, in the schools of Custer, and talking openly about it as teenagers in school or wherever. It's my understanding that's going on. Look, I'm so glad I don't need that. I don't have to have that. I'm so glad that I have a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that's not of this world, and I don't have to be afraid. And I am not making fun of them if they're stuck on it, because now they are more afraid, because now they're addicted to something they don't hardly can pay for. And we need to pray for these people that don't know God. They're filled with fear, and that's probably why they're drinking. That's probably why they're doing stuff, because they're fear. Listen, the world doesn't have what you have when you're saved. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so if you find yourself afraid, you need to find out why that is. Something's wrong. It's not God. What's going on? Why am I afraid? The only thing that makes me afraid is when I'm not right with God. Now that I'm saved, that's the only thing that gets me scared, because everything else I know, hey, God knew ahead of time and he's got a plan. Let's go back to where we started, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. But the next one is, but of power. Power. You know, Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 49, that he promised that power. Wait for the power from on high. You know something, folks? If we're not living in fear, there's a power that the world does not know. Now, we ought not walk around arrogant like we know something or like we're better than everybody else. And maybe some people think that that's what we think, but it's not true. We're just sinners saved by grace. We're not better than anybody else. We just got a better God than they do. That's all. Okay? We're not any better than anybody else. But the power, it makes all the difference. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost to come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Listen, you want to be a better witness? Ask God to give you that power and to just... and to get overcome the fear. I naturally am afraid of a lot of things, naturally, because I'm an introvert. I'm shy. I don't like to stick out. And I mean, God knows, I would rather just nobody ever notice me ever. So he just has a funny sense of humor, and he puts me as a pastor, right? And that's just how God does things. But you know what? I don't like it. So even going to the school and picking up, you know, and hurting all these children. I don't like being the center of attention. I don't like, but you know what? That's where God put me. And I got to get over my fear of what people think and what I look like or whatever it might be. You know what? You might have a fear that's different than mine, but we all naturally are afraid. But you know what? God gives us the power to get over that fear, and that power helps us to be a better witness. I'm standing in Family Dollar this morning, and I see a guy that has come to our church a few times a long time ago. He's standing there. He looks really, really rough. He says he's had a heart attack. And so I'm standing there right in the red. And I said, "Well, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you sure if you died, you'd go to heaven?" And all of a sudden, I looked around. I was like, wow, I said that kind of loud. But who cares, right? I mean, the guy almost died of a heart attack. Listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. Power. And you know what happens? We start getting religious without the power. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You can deny the power and look godly, but not really be godly. I think that's what's happening to a lot of churches in America, a lot of Christians. Oh, we're singing the praise and worship, or they are anyway, and they're doing all this wonderful, but you know what? It's just a form, but there's no power there. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody's getting baptized. Nobody's life is changing. Nothing new's happening. Listen, God's not giving us a spirit of fear. And what's happening is that if you don't have power, then you got to try to work it up some other way. You got to try to come out with some other kind of entertainment to keep people entertained. I know churches up in Rapid City are doing this. It's become a stage production when they got all these blue lights and fog machines or whatever, you know, and they're doing all this crazy, crazy, goofy stuff. There's no need for that. And what the reason why that's happening is that it's kind of like somebody said, you count them that way, now you got to keep them that way. That's no good. Listen, don't have a form of godliness but deny the power. The truth is, we could do all this stuff we do at church without even a building. Because it's just the Bible that we need. We don't have to have any electric whatever. We don't have to have any pizzazz this or that. No. We ought to be able to just carry on because we simply have the Word of God. Church is not a building. It's not all this entertainment stuff. And denying Him is wrong. And so denying Him, denying the power, which is Him, of course. Look at Titus just a couple pages back. Timothy, Titus, backwards. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. There are a lot of people that say they know God, but the way they live, they sure don't look like they know God. They deny the power thereof. From such turn away. No fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Instead, He's given us a spirit of power. Now, here's, I think, a really good point in the next one here. And love. Verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, 2 Timothy. Of power and of love. All right? Love is a huge power. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Some children tonight said, "This is the best food I've ever eaten." You know what? I thought to myself, seriously? I mean, nothing against Mr. Pryor and his cooking, but seriously? I mean, this is like styrofoam plates and plastic forks. This is the best. And you know what? I think they meant it. I mean, the reason why I think they meant it is because they went back for thirds. I mean, it was like a vacuum cleaner. Listen, they need to be loved. Now, they need to be made to sit still. And you have to talk to certain ones of them. I won't say her name, but you have to talk to certain ones of them 100 times. However, they need to be loved. I got to remember that when they go home tonight, they need to be loved. I'm so thankful that one of the new ones that came tonight, first time ever at Anchor Club, mom walked in the door. She said, I'm going to pick him up. You don't need to have him on the van. Walked in the door, runs up to mom. Can I come on Sunday? Listen, we got to remember, love is a powerful thing. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power. And look, I'm not being unkind to the people at school, but they get paid to be there, right? They get paid to watch those kids. I'm not saying they don't love them. But you and I, we're not getting paid, right? Well, I guess I am, but nobody else is. As far as I'm concerned, it ain't worth it. No. Do you realize the message that is, though, to the parents and the people? You know? What are you doing this for? Why are you doing this? Listen, power and love, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You know, you hear me talking about fear earlier? The reason why I get afraid is because I'm more worried about whether or not people like me. The reason why I get shy or nervous about being in front of people or being in the center of attention is because I start getting self-conscious. When it changes is when I love the people more than myself, okay? For instance, sometimes I have a hard time remembering names. And I'll tell you why I have a hard time remembering names. It's not because I have a bad memory, although it is slipping. But my problem with remembering names is because when I talk to people, I'm not thinking about them, I'm thinking about me. So when I say, hi, how are you? And they say, fine. I say, my name's Matt Furs. And of course, I know me. I like me. My name's Matt Furs, what's yours? And they say, John Smith. 5 minutes later, I can't remember what they told me. Because while they were saying their name, I was worried about what they thought of me. Because I love me more than I love them. I mean, this is me. I'm just telling you how I am, okay? And the more we think about others and the less we think about ourselves, the better we will be, the more effective we will be, okay? The more interesting we will be. And we'll get rid of our fear. There is no fear in love because perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, when you know you're loved, then you're not afraid. And so my goal is for the children to know they're loved. They need to know my rules, but at the same time, to not be afraid. Okay? And I've blown that many times for many people in many ways. But that's where it's at, is to know that they are loved will cast out their fear of me. And to remember that if I love them more than I'm worried about how they think of me, I won't be so self-conscious and so pride, and I will have a love for them that will mean something and will say something. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You're more afraid of what you look like. Some people don't ever get up in front of other people because they're afraid of what they look like. Well, I'm not trying to be unkind to you, but it's because you love yourself more than you should. And I'm saying that because I know. I know what it's like. You don't want to get up in front of people. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You know that? Verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. That's how this works. You're gonna get people to respond in love, you got to start it. Jesus started the love. Nobody in here loved Jesus first. He loved us first. And that is confidence. Confidence is gained when there's love and there's trust. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's to just understand the love that God has for us. And God commendeth his love so much that he died for us. He died for us. He gave himself for us. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love. And then lastly, and of a sound mind. All right? Of a sound mind. To just be able to think clearly, to not be controlled by our fear and our thoughts being messed around with, but to be sound in our mind and to be foundationally settled and strengthened in our hearts and minds. You know, it says that in Luke chapter 8, verse 35, that this maniac of Gadara, this naked guy running around in the tombs, demon-possessed. I heard a sermon one time, the preacher preached, a nude dude in a rude mood. That's what he was. I mean, he was a mess. Look, we got stuff like that in town. I mean, not quite like that, but we have crazy people who are either on drugs or demon-possessed. We have it. It's for real. You know what will change that? Getting saved. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Have you ever talked to someone that didn't have a sound mind? Isn't it a blessing to have one? And you know what takes that away is that fear and that torment. And why are people tormented? Their sin and their guilt and just the bombardment of evil in their life and whatnot. But Jesus changed that guy, and it says that he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. Sitting clothed and in his right mind. And the prodigal son, it says, when he came to himself and realized how foolish he was, he crawled out of the pig pen and went back to his father. Look with me in Psalm 119. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And let me just say that I listened to a little bit of news once in a while. I did a little bit of driving back and forth, and so I had the radio on. A lot of times I'll have a music CD on, but I had the radio on today, and I was listening to some talk radio or some news at the top of the hour or something like that. And here's what I've decided. The world's nuts, okay? It's nuts. And you know what? I don't mind getting some news and listening to some issues once in a while, but you know what? If I listen to that over and over again, even if it's conservative, I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to lose my mind listening to, because I can remember the same conservative talk radio guy 15 years ago, and we weren't talking about this crazy stuff. This is nuts, you know? But the world's going crazy, but you know what? I don't have to keep my nose in the world. Somebody wants me to. There's good stuff out there. I don't think all of the churches that picked up kids at the elementary school today are teaching the Bible like I would teach it. However, I'm glad I live in a town where at least four different churches pick up kids at the elementary school. That's a blessing. I'm thankful for that. We ought to be. Verse 80, Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. The young people are invited to go to a church in Gillette in a couple of weeks. Then in October, they're invited to go on a Saturday to Liberty Baptist in Rapid City. They're going to have a Bible quiz, Psalm 90, Psalm 91. It's going to be a Bible quiz in Rapid City. It doesn't matter if you think you're good at memory or if you're or not. You ought to memorize the Bible. Why? Because it will help you to have a better mind, a sound mind, to quote the Bible and to memorize it. Psalm 90, 91, those are the chapters I think that Mrs. Adams had at her funeral. Psalm 90, Psalm 91, that's the chapters they pick. Listen, those are good chapters to know. I know a few of the verses in those chapters. One verse in that chapter, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What a great verse. That we would just... and. Live our lives, apply, I'll fly away is in that chapter. So you know what? Mom and Dad, you ought to say, listen, young person, we're going to work on Psalm 90 and Psalm 91. Not because we're going to win a quiz. No, but because we need to have a sound in the statutes. We need to know the Word of God and have a sound mind. Now, perchance, if the football team was to go all the way to the state championship, That means that our boys would miss out on the Laurel quiz in Montana. But you know what? My boys are still going to work on the memory. You know why? Because it's not about the quiz, right? It's about having a sound mind. It's about memorizing and learning the Word of God, all right? And that should be what our focus is. Why? Because long after sports and long after anything else, that Bible memory is so important. When I was a child, it wasn't Anchor Club. It was called something else, but it was the same idea, and that was Bible memory, memorizing the Bible, learning God's Word. I hope that you develop a sound mind, and you're going to develop that in the Word of God. Here's what I noticed about Caleb. I don't think Caleb is perfect. I haven't met this girl that he likes, yeah. But I trust him because I can tell that he keeps his Bible open. And he's reading and he's quoting and he's studying and memorizing. He posted today a sermon that he heard. And why? I can tell he's keeping his thoughts on the Word of God. That's encouraging to me. That helps me to think, well, he's probably thinking straight about this girl too then, I guess. Whoever she is. Listen. You are in good shape if you've got a sound heart in the Word of God. So then verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I mean, you can learn to let stuff just roll off like a water off a duck's back because you're just so at peace with God and what he's doing and what his Word says. You just trust him because you have a sound mind that's fixed on his Word. Sound in wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 7 says, that we can be sound in wisdom. What does it mean to be sound? Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 7. That sound mind. Not hollow. You know, solid. Sound. You know, like they kick the tires or they kick the side of the foundation or something like that to see if it is solid. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now, let's go to Isaiah and we'll finish here tonight. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Look at Isaiah 12 and then Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. And my song, he also has become my salvation. If you've got salvation, if you're saved and you're solid on the rock and you know that, you can trust him. You can lean on him. You can figure out that he's not just good for heaven, he's good for every day. Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou, that's God, wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You can have perfect peace when your mind is stayed on the Lord. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't know, but I know this, God is in charge. I know this, that whatever God wants, he pays for. I wasn't even going to really bring it up because I don't want it to stop, and I don't want you to get lethargic about it, but God provides, I mean, our missions budget has been taken care of. You know? It's all of a sudden shot back in the right direction. Our financial status as a church is better than it has been all year, I think. Don't stop. But seriously, God pays for what he wants. God pays for what he wants. I had to stop and say, all right, Lord, whoever she is has got Caleb interested in him and her, and these people down in Arizona are trying to take him away from me. It's terrible. It's rotten. No, the truth is he believes God wants him to go down there. It's not because of a job or a girl. And you take another family and you move them to the other part of the world, and bummer. It seems like things are just, that's not good. And then all these kids are growing up, and who are we going to have for Anchor Club this year? I mean, literally, we have one child in our church membership that is Anchor Club age, and that's Philip. But you know what? If God wants it to keep going, he will. And he is. And I praise the Lord for that. It's just a reminder. There's just good things. Things I can't even tell you about, but just things behind the scenes where God's just saying, I pay for my stuff. Don't worry. Would you just stop worrying? Your eye shouldn't be twitching like that. Get that eye to stop twitching. You know? Why are you worried all the time? Why? Trust the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I don't know what's going on with this. What's it, Dorian? Is that Dorian? Is that the name of it? It's like the weirdest thing in the world. I don't know. Maybe God's just like going, you know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that God's in charge. God's in charge. And I think maybe sometimes these things happen for us to realize how much we are not in charge. Water is amazing. The little bit that Custer experienced with a flood should stop, make us stop and realize how powerful God is and how things can change so quickly. And then to see devastation that's taking place in other places. God is powerful, and God can change things rapidly. And we need to remember that and yet remember, he's my Father. I'm saved. If you're not saved, you got to get saved. Because if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell. If you're not saved, he's not your Father. You don't even have him as a father. You can't talk to him like a father. But if you're saved, you don't have to be afraid. You have the power. You have the ability to love and be loved like never before, and you have, like nobody else, you have the ability to have a sound mind, a steady, at ease, peaceful. I saw it was in the new Wall Street Journal talking about the Wyoming coal mines today. Now listen, I feel bad for the Wyoming coal miners. I didn't realize the trickle-down effect that is. However, you know something? My hope is not in the Wall Street Journal or the coal mines. It's in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. Caleb, what if you lost the job? Do you still think God wants you to be down there? What if she drops you like a hot rock? Why? Why am I asking him that? Because the decision isn't about the job or the girl. The decision is, where does God want me? Okay? That's how it should be. Learn to think that way. Yeah, I know jobs are important. I know that. But learn to think, where does God want me? It doesn't matter how good the green grass looks. Where does God want me? And then trust him. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you're afraid, it isn't from God. If you're afraid, somebody else is doing that. And you need to stop. And we need to learn to love. And I'll just say this about love. Our greatest example was hanging on a cross. And hanging on a cross, somebody says, "Will you remember me when you get in your kingdom?" And he was cursing him earlier. And he had time to talk to him. He also looked down and made sure that his mother was going to get taken care of by somebody. And he also said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I mean, he loved. And the night before, he washed the feet of some of the people that were going to curse him and deny him and sell him. We got to remember what we're missing out on when we don't demonstrate power and love and sound mind. Power, love, and sound mind. This, your neighbors, my neighbors, this world needs to see power, love, sound mind. Not our power, not pretend love, not pretend strength, but just truly a sound mind from him, power and love. That's what they need to see. Not afraid, not fearful. They need to see something different, and we need to trust him. And he's already answered some prayers. He's already done some neat things today, and praise God for that. And let's pray for more to happen in the future. And we'll trust God to just do what only he can do. And so then when it happens, let's not pat each other on the back. Let's just praise God, you know? Let's just praise God. and give him the glory because he did it.